And welcome to a Thursday morning. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Steak and Sandra, three straight days of nothing but love as we take you through kind of a sleepy Thursday morning. Weather isn't great.
That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wasn't sleepy in my house, I promise you that. Was not sleepy.
The girls hit the concert scene again last night at Lakewood, right?
Right, the Lakewood show last night. Did you want to remind me who that was? Bruno?
I wish I
some
knew.
Some kind of DJ asked. Do you want to look up who it was? Because, So Sophie, they're in the middle of finals, but I guess to be a college kid, you can't miss a big show at Lakewood, but everybody was talking about it. And they rolled into town, took over the Shapiro house.
The band?
Yeah, who was it? I mean, it's like electronic music type band.
I can't find it. And this computer, this is another thing to get me aggravated, so just move along.
Anyway, so there's four or five girls from her sorority and girls she lives with in Athens. And first, of course, like, hey, do you mind getting us some tequila? If you just happen to be on your way home, it's like 3:20 in the afternoon. I was like, yeah, like we're really not on our way home at 3:20. There's a kind of like 10 other things we got to do. But at some point, they do their pregame, and they take their Uber, and then they roll back in after the concert around 11:15.
Rufus Du Sol.
Yes, Rufus Du Sol. Is he a DJ, or is he – what is he?
Girl, why are you – I am your age.
Sorry.
I don't know. These are for teenagers that drink tequila, and they like, they're professionals.
Well, it wasn't just teenagers, but that's a huge act.
Yes.
So I come downstairs in my pajamas. I'm watching the Lakers and the T-Wolves. And they come rolling at 11:15. I got a great friend named King Ron who is nice enough sometimes.
Driver.
He's in
He's
in the limo slash business, whatever. Great friend of mine. He gets
his name's King Ron.
Well, we nicknamed the kids did. They named him King
so
Ron because he got us after the SEC title game, and he maneuvered through all this traffic.
You're the king. Yeah.
So they're just like, he's King Ron. He's not Ron.
That's great.
So King Ron, and then I'm going to tell you this. I've seen men get after, you know, four or five large pizzas that time of night. What was going on in my kitchen with these girls, the amount of food and combinations of, like, I think it was my wife has said, you know, guys come home, they get their pizzas, and they're content. Like, let's order three. These girls are putting flavor combinations. One girl's doing fried eggs. The other one is like making toast and then turning it into a grilled cheese. Sophie found my leftovers. By the way, I was at a fabulous restaurant last night, number 246 in Decatur.
The best.
One of the great Italian restaurants of all time. Mm-hmm. So they found that. Every girl had their own little culinary thing going on the console there. And I just like watched it. I did my 10 minutes. It was getting me very stressed. I said, clean up the kitchen. I don't care what you do, but there's nothing that makes me more stressed than walking downstairs and seeing like a kitchen that has not been left from the night before.
I did not know that about you in 20-something years.
That's unmade beds.
Unmade beds and kitchens in the morning need to be clean. That's fair enough.
Yeah, I don't want to see stuff from the night before. I don't care what you do. Take all the food in the world, like any combinations. But I don't want to come home and start my day. And there is a whole thing about clutter and anxiety and how it sets up your day, which is why they tell you to make your bed or do whatever. So sure enough, downstairs, 6 a.m., they were heading back to Athens. They got finals. And kitchen was clean. Gave them a big kiss and said, hope you had fun. So that was it. But my God, these girls were not playing around. I was like, okay.
Is your kitchen generally stocked with food?
Not great. It's too much takeout. Too much takeout because we're running around.
Yep.
And then you got to feed. Every kid's got different culinary desires. Neither one of us are great cooks.
If I opened your pantry right now, what's my go-to snack? What's in there?
Oh, probably cheese and crackers, maybe some chicken salad, always fruit, watermelon, grapes, that type of thing. But nothing, it's not that exciting.
No Cape Cod chips. There's no pimento cheese.
Yeah, there's pimento cheese. Right. There's definitely pimento cheese.
There's certainly not Snickers bars or those Tate's chips.
Yeah, my kid loves what's the chips they have at Jersey Mike's? What's the brand they have there? I don't know.
Outs? Is it the Outs chips?
I don't know. Was that the one from New Orleans? We should do that later. What's the best chip out there?
Yeah.
We should do
or
a great
what's in
chip.
Your pantry? Like, if you open, because I'll go to some of my friends' house, I'm like, there's mustard and some old eggs. Why? What's happening
in
this refrigerator?
Yeah, because they weigh like 110 pounds, some of your girlfriends, right? So they don't allow food to be in the house.
Meanwhile, I wish you could if there is a terrible, whatever you call it, you need a shelter, come to our house because Larry has enough food for 27 people and there's
meat. Is he like
meat.
A survivalist?
He is a Costco-ist. But it's just, it's he loves to have food. If someone or we want at any moment to make any meal ever, it is in the pantry.
One of the great nights of my life, Kevin Rathbun came over, famous chef in Atlanta, and he was watching games at my house one night and we'd all been out getting after it. And I was like, I don't think I have anything to cook here, Kevin. He's like, dude, I got you. Next thing you know, dude, he's chopping up like steak meat. He's pulling out sauces. He found bread that was in the freezer that he's and
it's like Top Chef. They give you some ingredients, dude, come up with something fabulous.
My buddies were high-fiving.
Oh, that's
like
so
we
great.
Had LeBron James in the living room.
They're well, like, you could have LeBron James in your living room
you
tomorrow.
You might. Yeah, you could. You could have him on the beach as well. Hey, let's do this and sound that we need to hear, right? And then we'll get into the 9 at 9, which is, I thought, super entertaining even before the Lakers get eliminated, which we'll talk about in a 9 at 9. And that is J.J. Redick, typically wound a little tight. He's a dookie. Right?
Yes, he
is. You know what that mindset is. Are we ready to go with this, Bo, or not?
Hold on.
All right. So, if you hadn't heard, the Lakers are done. Anthony Edwards and company. Rudy Gobert had the game of his life last night as they go on to the second round of the playoffs. And J.J. Redick the other night plays his entire starting five, the entire 12 minutes, which has never happened in NBA history, that a head coach has played the entire team 12 minutes. And by the end, Anthony Edwards was torching them. And basically, J.J. Redick gets blamed for the loss. So we have that ready to rock and roll? Yay or nay, Bo?
We don't have it. So we'll play it later. But I literally almost texted our little text chain because J.J. Redick was asked, hey, are you maybe going to consult your assistant coaches? Because of, you know, the fourth quarter and maybe mixing. Well, he stops him. So are you asking me? Or I don't know what I'm doing. You think I'm inexperienced? And he basically storms out of the presser. That was pregame. And I was like, I'm taking Minnesota and whatever that number is. And
because
it was
why?
Disastrous. Well, if he's wound that tight that early and then, you know, hashtag small ball. They're trying to play small ball with the Minnesota Timberwolves,
yep.
And he won't go. He's so stubborn, I guess, is what the analysts were saying. He's so stubborn.
Well, they also have he won't put a bigger guy out.
Rudy
there.
Gobert had 9 points, like, before you could get settled in your seat, so he didn't make adjustments. He won't throw other players in there, the bigger play. So he's just and I mean, some people and coaches and players, they get stuck, and, you know.
Rudy Gobert had 24 points and 21 rebounds. Okay. Yeah. That doesn't happen. 24 points and 21 rebounds. And the great the great trade in the history of modern civilization, they're already out. The Lakers won one game in the playoffs with LeBron and Luka. They won one game in the playoffs, they're out 4-1 with Luka.
4-1, a gentleman's sweep.
And there is a 40% chance LeBron doesn't come back. Okay, so let's say 60% that he comes back.
I think it's higher than that. Why do you say just 40?
Okay, maybe 70.
LeBron is going to do a LeBron tour. If
I was thinking about that, too. Because of his love of LeBron, which is fine, he's going to want the tour, right?
Which I don't blame him. Okay.
But, he can't. He's not that same guy, and that roster is a bad roster, and that cap hits $51 million, so I'm not exactly sure. But let's tell you what else is happening. Okay. We'll do our 9 at 9.
Okie dokie. Rockets keeping it interesting, 131-116. Houston was up by 29 late in the third, and Steve Kerr plays his bench players. So he's conceding. He's done. Warriors lead it now 3-2. They'll play again, I believe, on Friday night. Dyson Daniels, woohoo! Most improved player, the great barrier thief. Okay. He should have won Defensive Player of the Year. I like what he said afterwards. that he was on with actually the Inside the NBA, and he said, I hope I can win another one of these because I think there's so much ceiling for me.
Well, you're gonna have to go.
I love him.
Yeah, he averaged 5 the year before and went up over 10 points on that. The most disruptive player I've ever watched on the defensive side of the ball.
Dang.
Well, one of. I mean, listen, because the big guys are just blocking shots when guys go through the lane. Dyson Daniels, you game plan against him to get him off your best player. That's how good he is. You game plan against him defensively.
I was reading Doc Rivers and comments about him earlier in the season when they played him, and he was echoing your sentiments of I've never seen a player on the court that was so great defensively ever in my life.
Gets his hands in the middle of everything.
Braves wasted a masterpiece by Chris Sale yesterday. They lose 2-1. They're off today. Settle in before the big three with the Dodgers. Chris Sale, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, season high for him. No walks, allows just 2 runs. Braves had just 3 hits. It was just one of those days. Get out of there. They end up going 4-2 on this road trip.
Yeah, 4-2 is a good number, but Colorado is historically bad, and now you have the Dodgers for 3. Would have been real nice to get the W at Colorado, but listen, that's why they play the games. Even really, really bad teams are going to win 30 games a year. That's one of their 30 you'd imagine the Rockies will win.
As we were getting off the air, you heard the news. That is terrible. The Falcons fined $250,000. Jeff Ulbrich, $100,000. He is just really to watch that. It was uncomfortable to watch Jeff Ulbrich, which you'll hear shortly. He was very emotional, and you can tell he was just really beat up, and I felt bad for him.
Yeah, part of what we do, you got anything else?
I was just going to mention that they did exercise Drake London's.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no. And that happened.
Wondering why it took so long? Because in my head, I think they were trying to extend him as opposed to, because I was like, why are you the last one? So he was the last one on that draft list that was still around to be undecided. Some people have said
he's the only one that hadn't been
re-signed. Don't you guys think there was something more to that? I think they were trying to extend him.
Yeah, maybe.
And they're like, no, we'll just bet on ourselves.
Yeah, the agent knows.
Yeah, I think so too.
The sky's the limit.
9 to 5, y'all. Panics to Drake London.
Sky's the limit. Yeah, anybody knows, we're talking sports. This isn't real world. We're not talking tariffs and Zelensky and any of that other. But I will say this. Sometimes you're looking at the insides of a man that is pretty broken. And there's no other way to describe Jeff Ulbrich yesterday than that. A broken man in front of the media. Our thoughts on how this whole thing played out. And I have a theory on the Falcons. It's time to exercise those demons. I have a theory on the Falcons. I'll tell you how we're going to do it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:23. My name is Steak. That's Sandra. We've been doing this a while. It's great to be here on a Thursday morning. Rusty will be here tomorrow. So look forward to that. The best in the business, Rusty Manziel, with great news about his company and all the things that they have going on. I don't want to watch this Braves game, though. This Braves game upsets me. I don't want to. I know they're showing the replay. Those of you who don't know, Chris Sale was awesome yesterday, and the Braves couldn't get it going in Colorado. They lose to just a horrendous Rockies team. They run the replay. That was a day game yesterday, a much-needed day off for the Braves, and then a classic Atlanta weekend, man. Atlanta United in town on Saturday afternoon. The Braves in town on Saturday night. The Kentucky Derby going on Saturday. We'll talk more about that. So all kinds of good stuff happening for sure.
I don't want to be a buzzkill. However, the rain, y'all. The weather looks so terrible for Friday and Saturday nights.
Friday nights?
Yeah, all day, literally 70% and then 65%.
Did I ever tell you my Kentucky Derby story? I went to a fancy Kentucky Derby trip that the guys from Heineken took me on years ago. My buddy Bruce Scala, shout out to CMO over at Hooters, invited him and his girlfriend invited us on a trip. We took a Winnebago. Went to Louisville, stayed at, one of those motels. There's not a lot of places to stay. And we were dressed up fancy, me and my wife, and we went to Churchill Downs for the first time ever. And it was a significant rainfall for much of the morning, a significant rainfall. And we were in a bougie VIP tent.
Okay.
High-level VIP tent, and we were off to the side getting probably some appetizers or some food. It was a big enough area. So that was not exactly under the main tent. Well, the water built up so big. You know what I'm going to tell you? Next thing you know, a lot of very rich people got really wet. It only could hold so much of the top of the tent, and it caved, and the entire water was like a mini tidal wave, and all these pretty ladies that had, you know, been planning their outfits for how long? Head to toe drenched.
Oh, I have seen that happen, y'all. I've been at a wedding where there's big tents, and it just
it's what happened.
Gravity wins. Gravity, and off we go.
Me and Kimberly, we're like, oh, that's gonna leave a mark. Like these poor women, all dolled up, and they're just soaked. There's two kinds of people: either that goes son of a, or just like, give me another mint julep. Like, that's, hey, what are we going to do, right?
You're going to roll with it, baby.
You got to roll with the punches.
Exactly right.
Speaking of rolling with the punches, the Atlanta Falcons have no choice. They have no choice. The level of embarrassment I'm sure they feel, a human moment yesterday watching our defensive coordinator, Jeff Albrick, have to do a very public apology, which he did very well. He was very astute at. First off, and I'm sure it was very, very, very planned out.
Thoughtful. Mm-hmm.
Thoughtful. Mm-hmm. In terms of who gets apology first.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
First apology was Shador and Dion, saying he was incredibly great, way more gracious than they needed to be. Mm-hmm. Then Arthur Blank, then Terry Fontenot, then Raheem Morris, and then in general. A human moment of somebody living through one of the worst days of his life. Again, nobody's dying of cancer. Nobody hits somebody, and you know, kid's not up on vehicular homicide. There's not, you know, mugshots or anything. But for a family to be put out there in this manner, like I always tell my kids, listen, there's very, very often going to be ramifications for behavior. Mm-hmm. Whether you say the wrong thing, tweet the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, treat someone the wrong way, there are going to be ramifications. We've all dealt with it. When you're younger, you try to avoid or make excuses. You get old enough, you go, I screwed up. I had it coming. Whatever results come from it, you say, you know, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl. Yep, this is what has to happen. Mm-hmm. There are going to be ramifications. The ramifications were severe. You were used as the example by the National Football League of how absolutely unacceptable this trend we're hearing about, you know, pranking draft picks with proprietary information. And Jeff Albrick is out there basically talking yesterday.
It's difficult, but like I said, it's something that I brought upon myself, and my son brought upon himself. So it's one of those things where we gotta take this on the chin, and we absolutely are doing that and taking full responsibility. And I'm hopeful we'll grow and be better because of it.
He was very emotional, and I'm sure you guys have watched it by now, or you should. It's on the YouTubes. But I mean, he was borderline crying and trying to hold it together. It was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable to watch. That's a great way to put it. It's the moment in the living room when it was all like a bad dream and you probably screamed at your kid like crazy and you probably threw something down and everything else. And then you probably just sat there on the couch with your head in your hands and said, I cannot believe this is happening. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe that my new employer, I have a new job here, a massive job, that I have just trumped our draft. I've trumped virtually every story. I am now trending as the lead on ESPN, and your head was probably in your hands, and there was a lot of tears, mom and that kid, and everybody's crying, realizing what a nightmare. Now you can get through it, and yesterday was the start of getting past it, but when that fine came down, that news, that was horrible news, because whatever you thought 2 days ago, what's the worst that could happen? That was about the worst that could happen.
That was the opposite of a slap on the wrist when your team is fined $250,000 dollars and you personally have to write a check for $100,000.
I would imagine it's very hard for Jeff Albrick to be looking and be in front of Arthur Blank, not just yesterday or 2 days ago, but for the next however many months. I mean, imagine every time you walk by him, you realize that was a $250,000 fine. I mean, he'll have to work through it. What do we always say? You never learned anything from success. Everything comes from adversity, measures true character. Well, that family's dealing with it. Here he is talking about being a dad and being a father.
Yeah, they've been challenging, but you know, we brought this upon ourselves, you know, and the fact that I didn't protect the data well enough, and my son did something, obviously he has a great amount of regret.
So, you know me, as a true journalist.
Journalist?
How does this happen? So if you start to follow, okay, Shador, and why was it Shador? And I thought Adam Schefter had a real good take on this in terms of what he was hearing and why, what were the steps that Shador got that call?
But I got a text on Sunday night that said, the Shador prank thing is awful, but shows their naivete by not hiring an agent. The fact that they had the league send his number to the entire football distribution list was such a mistake, one that wouldn't have happened with an agent who would have handled that communication. I've never seen the league share a draft prospect's number with the entire distribution list. As soon as I saw the email on Thursday of draft day, I was like, oh no, and the league probably shouldn't have disseminated it the way that they did, knowing it was ripe for abuse.
Okay, so I'll take you one step further as we learn that Abdul Carter also got a prank call from the Jaguars, okay? So Drew Rosenhaus was there, took the call.
Fake Jaguars.
Fake Jaguars.
Yes.
That was not happening. So Drew Rosenhaus, as the agent,
deciphered it.
Said, yeah, this isn't. So, and we're learning you heard six others. Those six others had agents that are there to kind of get through. My other question, Stake, and I wonder if y'all were thinking about this. Why does Jeff Albrecht, defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, have Shador Sanders contact?
Well, it sounds like Adam Schefter said anybody in NFL personnel, which means coordinators on both sides, coaches, like that's the point. That number got filtered through a database, which is NFL coaching
but
staff.
I would even say NFL database.
What are you supposed to separate? We're only going to send the defensive coaches?
No. I think really on draft day, it should be the GM only and maybe your head coach
only. But it's
only
probably already been sent out to everybody. That's what they're saying. Shador Sanders was sent out to an NFL database that normally the agent would have protected that number
so
better.
So you got to, through this, can we learn better? And I thought Mina Kimes had the best suggestion, which was FaceTime. In the future, when that call is made, it has to be FaceTime. So that, in fact, it's
somebody's looking at you on the other side.
And they're looking at you and make sure you're who's on the both ends of the phone.
I think it's the most awkward when they show the owner talking to the player, then the GM, and then that. Yeah, put it all on FaceTime. Put them all there together. Yeah. Here's what I was going to say about the Falcons. It is time to exorcise these demons. The demons of, forget about 28-3, but just the Marcus Mariota. The Desmond Ridder, the Kirk Cousins, the loss of a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
We need to wipe it all away. I don't know what Dansby Swanson do when he was trying to exorcise demons.
The sage. He went out to the shortstop position, ran the sage in the.
Like, I believe through this, great things are on the horizon. I believe that Jalen Carter falling and getting James Pierce and getting Michael Penix and watching, like, I think it's about to turn all of
the
it.
The stars are aligning for us.
But we've got to rid ourselves, whatever
sage
that means. I don't know if it's sage, thyme, rosemary, whatever it is. But we have got to get over. And I hope we're sitting here talking about an NFC championship game sooner rather than later. And all this is in our rearview mirror because it's time. It's time for something good.
Vegas does not see this like we see this, Stake.
Well, it's time for something good to happen.
I agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Please,
time
God
for something good, like sitting next to a really hot girl on an airplane.
Thank you.
That's 50
Thank
years.
You. Oh,
no, that's 50
oh,
years
sorry.
Younger than you. Oh. Why the Bill Belichick story continues to fascinate everybody in America, and it ain't just sports fans. Also, an article that Sandra just showed me. You talk about a girl getting paid. Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, 9:41 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us, Stake and Sandra. Follow us on Odyssey, on the Odyssey app. You get the Odyssey app, good things are going to happen. We do a great job of continuing to really push out the big interviews, the big moments, the access that we get that nobody else in town has. home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of the Atlanta United, and home of the biggest sporting events, the best ratings, the number one sports station in the Southeast. I get privy. I sneak into Mike's office, and I get into his computer. Am I allowed to say that?
Not these days. The Falcons frown on getting into other people's computers and iPads.
So. Well, I've seen a dominance in ratings like I've never seen before, and our show particularly. So,
well, that's good news. That's great.
Yeah, we're going to at least be here till the end of the week. That's all that means. I'll be here. I will not be lox and bageled this morning, it looks like. I'll be able to get through the show. So my wife said to me yesterday, as we were talking about, I was carrying on about Bill Belichick. And I was saying, how could the North Carolina Board of Regents not be mortified right now? How could his family, have you ever seen a more lofty fall from grace in terms of how someone is perceived? And she's just like, why are you so emotional? Like when you talk about this, you're getting three levels higher. I said, I just find this thing absolutely fascinating. Now, obviously, having followed New England for years and being close to that situation and, you know, knowing the crafts a little bit and you know, I don't know, maybe that part was coming out. I just find it a fascinating story. It's a story about the human condition. It's a story about the frailties of men in particular. To me, it rings of like why the president of the United States would, you know, hook up with an intern and risk his entire legacy for, you know, a salacious affair with a young girl that puts everything that he worked for in jeopardy. And then, you know, as there's expression, blank is undefeated. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Okay. You know, like you are being paraded out, emasculated, embarrassing yourself. And I don't feel bad for you at all. You're petty. And you're petulant, and you treat people horribly at press conferences for years. Your ego is completely out of control. The way you trolled the Falcons with your little piece of work there, you deserve everything bad that's happening to you because it catches up eventually. And how you treat people matters. It's why the NFL didn't want to touch you. That's why Arthur Blank, at the end of the day, cooler heads prevailed. And he said, I don't need this guy in my building. I don't need his culture because Tom Brady's not here to save him. Kirk Cousins can't save him. And Michael Penix, Tom Brady did. And now that 60 Minutes, CBS Sunday Morning interview, Bill Belichick and Carolina put on their website.
Bill Belichick issues the statement and UNC posts it on their website. And I'm also going to chime in, and you guys know this. The news cycle has a way of taking care of itself. So a couple days of talking about this, again, we're now on Thursday. If he decides yesterday now to put this out there, this statement, and I don't think his statement was so earth-shattering. I think the CBS follow-up was better.
Oh, I love it. Belichick, by the way, says that the interview produced a false narrative. Sorry, the cuts away of her produced a false narrative. Some of the clips made it appear as though we were avoiding the question of how we met. We've been open about the fact that we met on a flight to Palm Beach in 2021. They also said we had reviewed numerous times with CBS that this interview would be about football and that it was not be about our personal life, and that pact was broken. What was the CBS response?
CBS responds late yesterday afternoon saying, when we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation. This was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before this interview took place and after it was completed. So how this works, Stake, and you guys know how what goes on, many, many times if you're dealing with athletes, but I used to be on these TV and movie circuits, so I'm with Will Ferrell, I'm with George Clooney. There's always a rep in the room, and it's kind of before time they will say he's not going to answer any questions about his divorce or whatever particular. It's done very professionally. I never have had an interview interrupted. I've gone off script a little bit, but let me continue because I want to say this. In the middle of that interview, when he's trying to tell you a book about We really want to hear about where the two boys are that blew up the footballs. They've never been heard from again. We want to hear about your relationship with Robert Kraft. The fact that you're talking about your football knowledge, that actually is the most boring thing here. So the interviewer, who is very good at his job, has won many a Pulitzer Prize, he's great at what he does, is no in the room. And he said the story isn't Bill Belichick. The story is Jordan, who is nonstop, like, overbearing.
Well, she became the story. Listen.
So that's what I meant. Yes. I think they pivoted 100%, midstream. Yes. And they don't answer to her. I don't care what she wants. I would keep rolling as she would have said everything.
I love
everything.
What Dan Patrick said. If you want to keep screaming, we'll get a chair. Come sit down. Because you're interrupting it. Here's the difference with your cattle call interviews with George Clooney and all the folks, Will Ferrell that you've interviewed, Jennifer Lopez,
you name all the big movies.
You have zero leverage. You have zero leverage.
They can kick me out in 1 second.
And not only that, we are agreeing to do the interview because we are at said small radio station
CSS
in Atlanta,
Georgia.
And we will take it on the chin and keep our mouths shut and behave because you have all the leverage.
Perfect.
So you agree to it.
Yeah.
CBS Sunday Morning is the number one piece of journalism in America. Their 12-minute pieces are the gold standard of anything that is done. It's a nonpartisan show for the most part.
It's partisan, but it's these kind of features.
It's not 60 Minutes, okay? I know you could argue.
It's heavy to one side, in my opinion, nonetheless.
Well, most of the show is not political at all. 80% of it is on entertainers and feel good
books
stories
and right travel.
So
and,
they have the leverage.
Right.
They approach them. If they're talking to Elon Musk, who wrote a book, if they're talking to Tim Cook at Apple, if they're talking to Jeff Bezos, it's pretty much guaranteed they have no ability to control what is asked. Right? If you think that a book by Bill Belichick about football that a lot of people in America could care less about.
It's got nothing in it.
Zero leverage. They had zero. In a million years, they want to get on and sell the book. They're begging CBS to get on there. And CBS says, we'll do a lot of football. We'll do a lot. But then, of course, we're going
to literally, the forward is to my muse, Jordan.
Okay, but the point is she became the story.
She's the story.
That was the last 3 minutes. We're going to talk about your personal life.
Yeah.
They threw him a bone. They talked about his dad. By the way, I'm spending $10 million a year. I'm a North Carolina alum that helped pay this. I'm on the athletic board. This arrogant, this self-aggrandized, you know, condescending jerk can't put on a Carolina shirt for CBS Sunday Morning and that massive audience.
I would say she failed at her job when they got up, and he doesn't even forget Carolina. How about a suit or something? That torn up Navy sweatshirt.
Okay, I get it. Your dad was at Navy for 40 years. I know the entire Bill Belichick story.
That was a terrible
hole in it.
It was terrible.
How about this? Wear a North Carolina shirt.
100%.
Wear a North Carolina football jersey. You showed your arrogance there towards your school. You wore a Navy shirt there to show everybody I'm not sucking up to Carolina, even though they're paying me $10 million. Nobody else would hire me, but they're going to hire me. And you have your muse parading around the way she is, and then CBS simply writes that statement, like you said. That's adorable. We would never agree and never agree to anything about restrictions in the interview. And if we did, you know what CBS would have said? Bye-bye.
I guarantee they were like, we got something.
And then
here.
The
this
story from the New York Post that comes out, and she has it coming and he has it coming of multiple properties all over Massachusetts that she's been buying.
She's accrued $8 million worth of real estate, and it dates back to December of 2023. She buys three houses for $7.5 million, 18 months after, $610,000 on a cottage in Cape Cod. Her parents were in the fishing business. They went bankrupt in the year 2000. Her mom manages a sex toy shop.
Hey now.
So, y'all, what's happening is likely not great for her because she's opened up this can of worms.
Absolutely.
Because,
careful.
I'm very, very suspicious, and I know you poo-poo it. You just think it's a guy that's like, he's smitten with a young girl. That's not
what's
the first.
That's a tale
as old as time. I get it. But steak.
Why is it any different than Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, who, by the way, Lauren Sanchez. My only point is, and by the way, I shouldn't say that about her. She's married to Tony Gonzalez. It's a beautiful. Oh, they had a baby together. So it's a beautiful young woman that has reeled in, you know, an unbelievably wealthy, famous man. And she's now getting to buy all kinds of stuff under her name that Belichick's giving her the money. The guy made $20 million a year.
I don't know this. I'm peeling back the onion, y'all. There's a lot of money early on. And if, in fact, they allegedly met when she was 20, and this is going a long time. And the fact that they are feeding into this engine that won't let it go, because if I'm a PR person, I'm in their heads going, let this
guy down.
Why
wouldn't Carolina call Bill Belichick in and say, knock it off?
What are you doing? Right.
Knock
so I'm
it
listening
off.
To Dan Patrick yesterday afternoon, y'all, and Charles Barkley is on there.
Who's buddies with Bill Belichick. Good friends.
I mean, the first part of this, he literally starts, y'all, and you could tell if you watch the whole clip, Charles Barkley hesitates a few times by, man, he's a real good friend of mine. I don't know.
From what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got. But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good, but I am concerned from what I'm hearing. It's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
And he's such a control freak, but he's relinquished control, it feels like. That's what's surprising to me.
Yeah, I have very strict rules on things. Don't ask me no personal questions. Nobody in my family can speak. No, I'm the one who's famous. I'm the one who have to deal with all the crap. No, don't say anything. Because if you say something, it's just going to muddy the water. That's what I call it. If any family member speak out, it's just going to muddy the water.
Steak, I want to ask you something. Because a guy in car, or even gal in car, when you feel the wheels coming off of one of your friends and something's up, and you've just completely out of character, and you have to say, we got to talk about something. Like, this isn't right. So for Charles Barkley to say, I actually think I'm going to call him.
Yeah, he says, I'm
okay?
worried for yeah. him. Like, there's something wrong. I said, it's almost like there's a level of dementia. He looks delirious. How do you explain getting on that beach and doing those poses and thinking that that's not going to make you look ridiculous? You're trying to recruit at the highest level and win a national title or go to the playoffs or win the ACC. There's nothing about what you're doing that's helping your job. You are embarrassing yourself, and some people would feel bad for him. How can you feel bad for somebody that's treated people so horribly?
And when Bill Belichick didn't miss a minute when somebody in his press conferences with the Patriots said something, I'm not talking about that. We're on to Cincinnati. For him to sit there
20 years he put
and
him.
Looked... He literally looked out of it when she has
She's
to
She's sitting
in.
Right there. How'd y'all meet? You didn't know that was coming? Could you?
Right. But
I don't understand why he has leverage with Carolina, other than they're all in now, for somebody to say, she's you know what happened with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? The gap was Brady's personal fitness guy, right? Guerrero.
Oh, that's right. That's
Alex
right.
Guerrero.
Yeah.
Who eventually Belichick said he's off campus, and he's like, "What do you mean he's not part of our team? Why isn't somebody at Carolina say she needs to be removed? She's not allowed. She doesn't have access, and we're not. You have to fire her from
so
that
I said
job.
This seems awfully big, y'all. This is bigger than what we're thinking, in my opinion. And I don't know what it looks like yet. All I know is we should buy Raheem Morris, deliver him some of those yummy cookies, because I am so thankful that Mr. Bellawhipped is not up there at Flowery Branch sitting here running our team. I could not be more thrilled.
Miserable.
Can y'all imagine? God bless
you got, well, yeah, you
the
got
broken
come
road.
Hey, when we come back, we'll talk about a big moment for a Hawks player. We'll also talk about how everybody said it was the greatest trade in history. Was it? Sports Radio 92.9.